Welcome to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. My name is Catherine Barkman, and I'm a soloist at San Francisco Ballet. This podcast series of Meet the Artist interviews is your chance to get to know us, the dancers, musicians, designers, and choreographers at SF Ballet, as we discuss our lives, the process in the studio, performances on stage, and more. Join us for Meet the Artist interviews live and in person in the Opera House before Friday and Sunday performances. Or tune in all season long to hear podcast recordings of San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist interviews. Enjoy!
Well, I want to say good evening and welcome to everyone. Welcome to this evening's performance of everyone's favorite ballet, Swan Lake. And welcome to our Meet the Artist interview this evening. I'm Mary Wood for the San Francisco Ballet. And I'm just delighted to have with me Nikisha Fogo, who is a San Francisco Ballet principal dancer. And a special guest, this is Danielle Camargo, who is a guest artist for our performance of Swan Lake tomorrow, and who is a principal dancer with American Ballet Theater. And I'm just delighted you're both here. Thank you so much. I want to say a little bit more about our guests. Some of you may already be familiar with Nikisha. We have talked before. Nikisha was raised in Sweden. Her parents run still a hip-hop studio. Oh,
not anymore.
Well, they did, and that was her entree into the dance world. She studied at the Royal Swedish Ballet School, and then after an entry in the Prix de Lausanne, she received a scholarship to the Royal Ballet School in London. When she graduated, she was employed at the Vienna State Ballet, where she rose to the rank of principal dancer by, I think it was 2018, and then made the trip, migrated to San Francisco Ballet in 2020. And that's its own story, but she's here and dancing for all of you now. We have seen her in a wide variety of roles, including Odette Odile earlier in the season. And I am really pleased to make the acquaintance of Daniel Camargo. You may have heard of him. His name is out there. Daniel began his studies in his native Brazil, and then following an entry in the Youth America Grand Prix, he received a scholarship to the John Cranko School at the Stuttgart Ballet. After graduating from the school there in 2009, he joined the Stuttgart Ballet, rising through the ranks to principal in 2013. 3 years later, he joined Dutch National Ballet, and then left that company in 2019 to embark on a career as a freelance dancer. Then, following a guest appearance with American Ballet Theater, he settled in there and has been a principal there since 2022. So, once again, welcome and thank you so much for being part of this conversation this evening.
Thank you.
So, some of the things that I think might be particularly interesting have to do with the role of the international ballet community that we find ourselves in. And, of course, with receiving the gift of a guest artist. So I want to actually start with a couple of comments from Nikisha. Nikisha, you are part of the home team here, but you really do represent our company's international profile. And you've trained in the UK and danced in Vienna. What drew you to not just the United States, but the West Coast of the United States and dancing with SFB?
Well, I've seen San Francisco Ballet perform before. So I saw them when they were on tour in Paris. Mm-hmm. I think that was 2013, a really long time ago. And I really enjoyed the repertoires, a mix of both neoclassical, modern, and ballet. And yeah. I really enjoy doing all of those things, so I felt like San Francisco Ballet would be a good fit for me. And I'd also never been to to California before, and I've heard good things. And yeah, I thought it would be a good fit for me. That's why I came here. Yeah.
And was it a question of auditioning? Did you have to travel here to visit before you joined? Or
I had my audition when the ballet was on tour in London. And London is obviously a bit closer than San Francisco from Vienna, where I was. So it was easier to just go over the weekend. So I did a company class, and then, yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
So we're delighted that you're here, and we have lots of interesting observations about the blending of the different styles of training and performance direction from around the world, which leads me to Daniel and your history of going from your home in Brazil to Stuttgart, which is halfway around the world. I think it's farther than Vienna to San Francisco. How was it to do that at the age of 14? And how did you find, what were the challenges of leaving home and then such an intensive training ahead?
Well, the beginning was Brazil and Germany, pretty much exactly the opposite. So it was a hard beginning, but I glad went through the first months, getting to get the language, getting to make new friendships, getting used to the system of the school. Because back in Brazil, I did was more a French school. So in Stuttgart was the Vaganova, the Russian style. So basically it was kind of going back into starting from scratch to get all the heads, all the port de bras, getting the technique in. So it was a whole year of just getting used to the Russian technique, which afterwards I could see that was really good because then I could have a real base. And the school had a really good system for the Russian school, for the proper Vaganova style. So it was a very dramatic change, getting used to everything, but I'm glad I took the time and really went with it.
And that has clearly served you well because you moved from the Stuttgart company, which has a very broad repertoire, to Dutch National. And then I'm very intrigued in your choice to become basically a freelancer, free agent. And I pulled this from your bio. You have performed not just with Stuttgart and Dutch National, but the Australian Ballet, Opera de Roma, Czech National Ballet, Finnish National Ballet, Hong Kong Ballet, Tokyo, the Kremlin Ballet, the Mariinsky Theatre, and the Royal Ballet of England. What was the attraction of becoming a free agent?
What's funny, because that was not actually my goal. I never thought, okay, I want to dance in as much places as I can. But I started with galas, and somehow the invitations started to come. So soon I started going, it was like a snowball, which from place to the next place to the next place. And it was really nice to have the opportunity to go and see different dancers, see different style, dance different repertoire. Because in Stuttgart was, and I'm very glad I did it, was mostly Kranko. A lot of the other classical ballets, we never really got to do it. So being away, I could have the possibility to do all the full classics, work with different choreographers, dance with different people. That really took my attention into, if I'm totally free, mm-hmm. what would happen? What would be my choice of choosing what to do? What be free for the opportunities to come and have the time to actually do it.
And I believe you said at one point you wanted to, as you say, be free to accept invitations. And when you're part of a company, that's not always up to you.
Exactly.
But then you've landed back at American Ballet Theatre. So what was the draw there?
So after doing that for a little while, it's literally from the suitcase, from place to place, which was great. I learned it so much from it, from traveling, from meeting new people, from getting the way of work is very different. So you need to be very quick, pick up choreography really quick, get used to different time zone where you suddenly got to a place where you're supposed to be sleeping, suddenly you're doing class, your body's like, what's happening? And you need to make it work. So it was a very different way of work, which I learned a lot from it, because I was used to not be able to do that. So it was a totally change. But then I did miss the environment of a company, of having your friends around, having your routine, having your place, going to work, go back home, and putting the suitcase aside. So that was, at some point, I did miss the work environment from in one company. And I reached out to ABT, and it worked out exactly in the time that they needed, and I was looking for, so it was a perfect timing.
Great, and of course the pandemic had a moment there where you were couldn't go anywhere, do anything.
Yes. Yeah.
But was that a time that you took to? Were you in any particular place then? Did you settle? Or Nikisha has her own pandemic story of.
I went to Portugal because all the theaters were closed, and I thought to myself, I'm just gonna do something that I never had the time to do it. So I went to a surf camp, and I was there for 4 months, and it was amazing.
Oh, that's great.
And it was the first time that I stopped dancing since I was 9 years old. So for me, it was a whole new world being, okay, this is completely different from what I did so far, meeting different people from everywhere, having a totally different lifestyle, which I learned so much from as a human, not only as a dancer.
That's amazing. Surf, and I would wonder if surfing muscles and ballet muscles are compatible.
Not at all.
That might be a different conversation.
I'd pay for it afterwards.
Oh. Well, for those of you who came in late, I'm in conversation with our guest artist, Daniel Camargo, who will be performing with Nikisha Fogo, who is our home team ballerina, and they are performing tomorrow afternoon. So for those of you who've been lining up to see different members of the company and different casts, tomorrow is your goal for this one. We should probably turn the conversation to Swan Lake, which is the ballet that you'll be seeing and that you'll be performing in. Nikisha, you have performed the Swan Queen now. Was this season your debut in that role?
Yeah, it was my first time doing the role of Odile. Yeah.
But I believe you had performed variations from, or the pas de deux at times in the past, so.
Yes, twice, I believe, yeah.
And also, in a previous conversation, you mentioned that you had been in the ballet in multiple different roles, so you have a familiarity with it.
Yes, definitely.
But the main question, I think, is this a ballet that you like or love? And if so, what is it that's special about it for you?
I really love the ballet. First of all, the music is amazing. And I really loved getting into the role of Odette Odile because there's so many variations that ways I can go about it. And also looking at all of the other casts and other ballerinas and see how they interpret it is also very inspiring. And I can, you know, pick and choose little heads or arms and what I like. And I can feel, even though the steps are the same, now that I'm doing it again, had the time to let it, you know, sink in and I know what to expect now. I feel like, I don't know, I'm really enjoying it even more now almost, you know. I feel more secure in the part, and I can imagine even if I would do it again, I don't know, in 10 years, it would feel very different from now, and every time it's different, and that's what I love about it.
Well, Daniel, this is certainly not your first Swan Lake. You have done it in probably many of the other companies. And so what I'm interested to hear is how you feel about the ballet as, you know, historically, as this iconic, historical, everyone's favorite ballet, and how you have enjoyed, or not, doing different versions of it. And how does the ballet differ from one company to the next, one production to the next?
Swan Lake is, I think, is one of the public's favorite. Wherever you go, the public always receive very well. And it's nice because you have the frame of Swan Lake, but each version has their own way of doing where, and a lot of the times it's basically the prince that needs to become a king one day, but he doesn't want that at all. And it's for the search, trying to find truth, trying to find, he's always looking for something. So it's always nice to see how in some versions the choreographer puts more effort into the first act, where it's about his own feeling, and he has his whole solo in the first act. Second act is always where he founds this one, get married on the third one, and then feel sorry for the fourth act. So that's pretty much the frame, but I enjoy jumping in different versions and having to deal with slightly different characters in the same character, if you know what I mean.
That's interesting.
But it's not always easy because we also had a funny moment in rehearsal where small changes come in where you have an entrance always in the first phrase of the music. And then in another version, like here, you have on the second phrase. So there's very similar things, but not the same, which you need to adjust very quick, or going to the always going to the right side, and then I follow Nikisha, and I'm supposed to go to the left side, and it doesn't work, and I would, like, need to go back. But I think that keeps fresh and always fun to work and trying to find new things in the same ballet.
There are very few places in the ballet where you are just dancing alone by yourself. One of the ones that comes to mind is the Act 3 Grand Pas de Deux. We sometimes call it the Black Swan, the Odile Pas de Deux. That variation is frequently performed in galas, and we can't help but notice that the principal male dancer often has his own tricks. Are you allowed to carry your own variation with you, or are you asked to conform to the local custom?
They're pretty much always the same frame of the one from third act. The one of the third act is pretty much always the same. So the last year or two, I've been doing the same one. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How long have you been in San Francisco learning this version?
I got here last Monday, so it's going to be 2 weeks, which is a very long time. It's a long time. Yes. Wow.
Well, I guess we can. You said the framework is the same, and fortunately, the music is the music.
Yes.
So, and it's not like learning a whole new story. Nikisha, I want to ask both of you, but let's ask you first. In your interpretation of Odette and Odile that you have been working on now for some time, and then this new partner drops in, do you find that working with him has changed or enhanced your own interpretation of your own performance?
Yeah, I think so. Just because, like, it's easy to get used to one thing. Obviously, I have never done this ballet before, and I've only worked with Aaron. And like you said, it's nice to keep it fresh, and I learn new things working with Daniel, and, like, you have to be adaptable. And yeah, no, I really enjoy dancing with, like, new people and figuring out, like, what our vibe is, and when you perform together that you really feel like you're on the same page is always really cool.
So the same question for you. You have danced with many, many different partners, of course, doing the ballet. Have you found yourself developing your own version of Siegfried now that you're here working with this company and these dancers?
Yes, I think in every new production that you do or every new performance, you do learn something new from it. So it always brings a new experience, and obviously dancing with Nikisha also brings a new experiences and always keeps adding on. So I think it's always good also to change time to time in partner and to find new things in the piece.
It makes me wonder if there are things that you will take with you to the next Swan Lake and say, well, when I did it in San Francisco, we did it this way and I like that. Anything come to mind?
From the fourth act, where here he's extremely sorry for what happened in the story, and he's very, I think in this version he can be very human. I think that would be something that I would like to carry on, yeah.
I know some version, the original Swan Lake was, of course, all about the ballerina, and the original Siegfried was a 50-year-old man who didn't even dance a variation. The times have changed, and one of the things when Helgi Thomasson, who produced this version, was very particular about enhancing the role of Siegfried. Have you found that to be special, particular to this production, or is that sort of a general trend in contemporary productions?
I think general, last few years, the men's been doing way more what they used to do back in the days. So I think that's really good for us as well to keep trying to improve and making new things and putting the masculine dance also in a level where you need to be an artist with a technique in a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A question that is inevitable to ask dancers at the end of the season, and here we are, this is the end of this season, and next season's been announced, and there's some excitement about it, and vacations are coming up too, layoffs. But do you move on to further adventures? Do you get some time off? What's next for you?
So after our show on Saturday, I fly to Korea. I'm going to have two Romeo and Juliets there. And then I fly back to New York after that for our med season. So holiday is still very far away.
Oh, boy.
Looking forward.
And there are some classics in the met season. Do you have any idea what you'll be dancing, in case anybody's in New York?
So I'm doing Onegin, Wolfworks from Way McGregor. Then we have Swan Lake, Roman Juliet, and Like Water for Chocolate from Wilden.
It's going to be an exciting season. Well, you'll be doing another Swan Lake, so that'll be...
Yes, I will.
Interesting. And I'm tempted to ask you, do you get to take a break? Do you go on a vacation?
Yes. I'm going to Hawaii on Wednesday.
Have you ever been?
I'm so excited. No, I've never been before because it's very far from Sweden, so...
Absolutely. And then there's a break, and then you're back rehearsing new works. I understand San Francisco Ballet will be touring this fall, so are you looking forward to going back to Europe?
Yes. Yeah, I'm really excited to go on tour with the company, like a big tour with the company. I haven't done that yet, so I'm really excited for that.
I think this is the company's first tour since pandemic, so it'll be very exciting. The company will be going to Madrid in...
October.
Yeah. So very exciting. Book your tickets now. I want to thank Daniel so much and thank Nikisha so much. I'm looking forward so much to the fact that you will be performing tomorrow and enhancing the San Francisco Ballet's experience of Swan Lake this season. Thank you all for being a great audience. Look forward to seeing everybody next season. Enjoy this evening's performance.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about SF Ballet or to attend in-person Meet the Artist interviews and performances, visit sfballet.org. See you at the ballet.